Whether you're a world-class athlete or a podcaster like me, we all understand the importance of mental and physical well-being and proper recovery for top-notch performance. That's why I'm excited that Unified Healing is sponsoring podcasts on the Blue Wire Network. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, then you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Wherever you are across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE System technology for yourself? Go to unifiedhealing.com/bluewire to learn more and find a center near you. That's Unified, U-N-I-F-Y-D, healing.com/bluewire. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including EE System.
Buckle up, because Metro is bringing you the best deal in wireless. Switch to Metro and get your choice of two awesome free phones from top brands like Samsung and LG with huge HD screens and tons of memory for all your pics and videos. So hurry into Metro and get your awesome free phones only at Metro. Plus sales tax and activation fee. Requires port-in of eligible number not currently active on T-Mobile network or active on Metro in past 90 days. Limit 4 per account or household. Restrictions apply. See store for details and terms and conditions.
Don't miss the Xfinity Beyond Black Friday event. Get $100 back on a package that's right for you. That's a gift. You'll unwrap amazing speed and Wi-Fi coverage from America's best internet provider. Plus, the Emmy Award-winning X1 voice remote with Xfinity X1. The easiest all-in-one entertainment experience. A gift in a gift in a gift. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. The Xfinity Beyond Black Friday event ends December 10th. So click, call, or visit a store today. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. New X1 double play and triple play customers only. Minimum 1 to 2 year term contract required.
Welcome to the Barcelona Podcast, bringing the hottest breaking stories from the Camp Nou. I'm Dan Hilton. Frances Tomas is joining me across the ocean, as always. We've got a pretty fun show planned for you today. And, of course, if you're new to the show, or you're also an oldie as well, go into our show notes. We have promotion codes in there. We have plenty of links to both our social media and places where you can leave show notes and comments and interact with us as well on all these different platforms. Nevertheless, Frances, it's about time we get this show started, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, it certainly is time. Today we've got a great, great show. I mean, Barca are not playing this weekend, so actually we've got a bit of time to have a more sort of holistic view of what's going on in the club. So la gran pregunta today is basically who should Barca sell and buy or, you know, add to the team this summer? And then I was joined by the fantastic Mohamed Bat from Squawka, friend of the pod. He's been with us before. He's a fantastic guy. You are going to love him being on the pod. You really cannot miss today's show. The Barcelona Podcast 72 starts right here.
And I'll start it with the gran pregunta of who should Barcelona buy or sell this summer. So I know we're 2 months out and still a lot to play for this season. But of course, this is the time of the year where before the transfer window opens in a few months, there's rumors are circulating and there's plenty of talk about who's in, who's out. So we're going to try to break this down a little bit. And because we're so far out, Frances, I think it's important also to keep in mind that these are just preliminary reports and the things that we're presenting are only things that we've heard reported over multiple weeks and in multiple different outlets. So we're not just trying to grasp at certain rumors about certain players. You know, a random player from Uzbekistan has been linked to the club and that's why we're talking about them. So nevertheless, let's get right into it. I'm going to start with a little bit of a mouthful as we kind of put all those players in your mind's eye. And then Frances and I will break down what's going on here. So to kind of figure out, to start things off, who Barcelona are looking to buy or sell this summer, you have to take heed of the report that says that Valverde is looking to have 21 to 22 players on the roster next season, where usually the Barcelona first team is 25, which actually is even less than a lot of other clubs, which are closer to 28 or 30. So 25 is usually a bare bones, and that's with a third goalkeeper, which Valverde doesn't have this season because he's just carrying Ter Stegen and Cillessen. So that said, that means that the squad is just merely going to get smaller with few additions, two of which pretty much we are aware will be Carlos Alenia, that is locked in unless he goes out on loan, and Antoine Griezmann is very likely to come to the club from Atletico Madrid. That said, Mundo Deportivo has reported that 7 players could be on the market, including Rafinha, which Inter can purchase for $35 million if they qualify for the Champions League, where they currently sit in 4th place in Serie A, so that does look likely. Deulofeu is for $12 million buy last summer. Barcelona, of course, would try to recoup the $12 million they bought him for. Andre Gomes, who would garner the best market, that's why he seems to be on the table. Douglas, who of course is at Benfica, 1 contract year left, but he doesn't fit at Benfica. Unfortunately, surprise, surprise, the way the player's career has gone. So he'll, of course, be looked to be sold for whatever amount he can be found for. Paco Alcácer would leave if the 21 to 22 man roster is a true statement, and that he would leave and make room for a substitute for Suarez coming from the B team, either Mark Cardona or Abel Ruiz at this point. Digne could be on the chopping block. You have Marco Correa or Juan Miranda, who of the two is actually the one who's at the youth Spain level. Right now, Cucurella is just not making those appearances. Miranda is the one being selected for the U19 squads. And Denis Suarez is the last one there, who currently has no place on the Valverde, and things could change there. Then the other names that throw at you, Yuri Mina may not have a place at the club, depending on the way he's gone. He probably won't be sold, but he could be loaned, in the same way that Marlon Santos, who will also probably be coming back from Nice in the summertime, and we'll have to figure out what to do with him. Sergi Samper, who's back in Barcelona after an injury at Las Palmas, and Munir El-Haddadi, who's doing pretty well at Alaves, but again, they've had an up-and-down season and look to be in the first division next season as well, having staved off the relegation battle. And of course, the biggest name of all, Frances, Andres Iniesta, who could be on his way to China. And in the last few days, this report from a week ago when you and I were skeptical, this is a ton of heat, or as we always like to say on the pod, has a ton of fire behind it.
It really does, and it is very unfortunate that that's going to quite likely be the case. I mean, I don't want to be pessimistic about it, and Andres himself went on the media, on El Larguero, the midnight show in Spanish radio, and he did say pretty much that the decision was not taken, but the fact that he was talking about it sort of indicates the opposite, indicates that this is pretty much a done deal. And as you mentioned, I think Iniesta holds the key to pretty much everything else. If Iniesta decides to leave, then there's a void that is irreplaceable. You can't fill that void at all. Puyol left, no one could replace him. Xavi left, no one could replace him. The day that Busquets or Iniesta leave, there's not going to be anyone like them. And, you know, I tweeted about this earlier today, and Diana, friend of the show, Diana Christine, tweeted back, and she mentioned Messi, and, you know, he gave me shivers when she did that. It really is all about Don Andres this summer. If he does go, there's a gap in there that we'll have to try and fill somehow. I mean, Alanya, I don't know if it's a certainty he's going to be promoted, but everything sort of indicates that that would be the case. But, you know, for me, is he going to get a decent amount of playing time? If Valverde can narrow the whole squad down to 21, 22 as well, but hopefully 21, with the 22nd player being the third goalkeeper, who is Ortola, currently playing for Barça B, then I think Alanya would get minutes, so promoting him would make better sense. A bit of an aside here, Pep Guardiola gave 3,000 minutes to La Masia players in his first year in charge. Luis Enrique gave 1,600 minutes, and Valverde has only given 300 minutes, and all of these minutes have come in Copa del Rey games. So what I'm trying to say is that Valverde has given a tenth of the time to La Masia players that Pep Guardiola did, and that is not a way that any successful cycle at Barca has ever started, and I really hope that can change. And I think that the whole vision of narrowing down and, you know, offloading players, and, you know, I'm not even going to go for Rafinha, Deulofeu, Douglas, etc., but Aleix, Gomez, Denis, and Paco Alcácer, they certainly have to be on the way out to make room, because, you know, say you pick up a couple of injuries and that narrows it down to 18 choices, there's two or three that, you know, may not even make the squad on a weekly basis. And that narrows down the gap for players like Alanya, Palencia, Cucurella, Abel Ruiz to come through. And that has to change, because Barca is all about La Masia players coming through and making a difference. And losing Puyol, Xavi, Iniesta, and, you know, soon enough it will be Busquets, and hopefully never, but soon enough it will be Messi as well. There has to be a relevo. There has to be a replacement being there ready to take the baton and take us into another successful decade of football.
And you're right. Even in my five-minute diatribe about all those players that could be leaving, Elias Vidal wasn't even on that list. And I also forgot to mention even Arthur, the Brazilian midfielder from Grêmio, who could be coming over in the summertime or potentially next January. And for all those players, you're right about Valverde, that when he came in, one of the things you and I praised him at Bilbao for was, and maybe this is because of Bilbao's policy of only playing Basque players or players affiliated with the Basque country, is that he did play a lot of academy players. And even in Greece, he was known to play younger players and take chances in that manner. And I think it could have been a byproduct of where he was. And I think instead of blaming Valverde, I want to look at the bigger idea that Barcelona might be at a point in that pressure cooker of needing to win titles that he doesn't feel that he has that luxury. I mean, and that's why Guardiola, another compliment to him as a manager, is seen in such high regard, that he's somehow always able, even at Man City, where he plays Phil Foden, a 17-year-old English winger and midfielder, and he's playing these young players as well. Brahim Diaz, I think, comes to mind, another teenager. And Guardiola somehow takes that pressure, and he balances playing the youngsters with winning titles. And that's why he's one of the greatest to ever stand on a sideline. And for Valverde, it's not that he's unable to do that, but in his first season, at least, I think he wanted to make sure that he won titles. Because let's say he does play a lot of young players this season, didn't win any titles, and now he doesn't have a job. So if he's able to win two trophies, which look likely, or potentially all three of the treble, then of course it's a successful season, and now he can look ahead to feel like there's a little more security there. So I don't think all of that goes into it, but the importance of bringing up the youth academy players is clearly in the mind of the report that he would want to narrow the squad down to be 21 to 22. And again, looking at the future and all those players that you're going to lose, yes, it would be fun on our side to look across the world and speculate. Of course, one of the players that I like for the Netherlands right now is a 21-year-old midfielder, and it's Frankie de Jong. And we talked about him months ago on the pod. He's a guy that you look at him at a first-team level for Ajax and you say, oh, that could be a Sergio Busquets replacement. But then you always have to remember that Oriol Busquets, who's recovering from injury with the B team, but he was really good, and he even made his first team debut this season, and he's still just a teenager as well. So maybe he is a much more relevant and a much cheaper option to replace Busquets in the future. But that's what it comes into, right, Frances? How many youngsters now has Barcelona B had over the last 4, 5, 6, 7 years who wound up not making it at the club? And the answer truly is, what, all of them, with the exception of Sergio Roberto. And with that kind of recent track record, you wonder if there has to be some kind of reevaluation of the way that the jump from Juvenil A to Barca B to the first team is going.
Of course. And also, I think we need to look a little bit deeper than that. Obviously, that's totally fair. I think the quality of players coming out of La Masia, it hasn't reached the Messi, Iniesta, Xavi era, but then again, those are three of the best, I would say, top 10 players to ever play the game.
Not to cut you off, but would you say then, though, that we at least need them to be Sergio Roberto level? I think, again, it's ignorant to say, oh, we need another generation of Iniesta, Messi, and Busquets, but no, we need another generation of Thiago Alcantara and Sergio Roberto.
Of course, totally agree. But that's where I was going. I think those players would have been good enough if they had been given the chance, or at least some of them would. But if you think about the players that we mentioned earlier, you've got Deulofeu, which obviously comes from La Masia, but he was loaned out 2 or 3 times before he returned. But Aleix Vidal, Gomez, Denis Suarez, and Paco Alcácer, they were bought for a huge amount of money in the last 2, 3 years when they actually shouldn't have been bought in the first place. They do not have a Barca starter quality. They didn't have it when they got it. I mean, with Denis Suarez, you could say he was doing well at Villarreal, but he was never signed to be a starter. Paco Alcácer was never going to dethrone Luis Suarez, or at the time was Neymar, or obviously Messi, from the starting 11. And he was a very sort of, I would say, low-quality replacement to Pedro even leaving. Aleix Vidal just hasn't delivered what he was supposedly going to bring after quite a good season in Sevilla and obviously Almeria before that. And André Gomes, he was always going to be a compliment. He was young, he still is young, and he was sort of showing good elements of his game in Valencia, but that has not translated. So I think if you sign, and you know, people do criticize this, but if you sign Griezmann, you know you've got a player that can very likely be in the starting 11. You know, he may not be in the starting 11 every week simply because having Luis Suarez and Messi obviously as part of the team, but you know you're signing a world-class player that is going to, say, lead France in the World Cup this summer. He's been, you know, one of the best goal scorers in Spain for the last 2-3 years, regular starting in Atletico Madrid, who, you know, has challenged for Champions League in the recent years. And you know, that is, in a way, a safe bet. That is the sort of caliber of player you need to be signing. Of course, they're going to be expensive. Of course, they're going to have to compete for a starting 11. But as we said before, successful teams these days in modern football, they have 16 starters. And that's what you will be signing with Griezmann. So, you know, coming back to the point about La Masia, of course, these players, they're young, they are eager, they are passionate. They need to be given a chance to show their worth at first team level. But if you've got Aleix Vidal, André Gómez, Dennis and Alcácer sitting on the bench waiting for a chance, having cost a lot of money, you just simply cannot do that. And that has to change.
I think the last point I want to make in regards even to the transition from La Masia to the first team is that we all have to always remember as well that luck and opportunity and timing and personnel, those are all so essential. And that you could have a 14-year-old, 15-year-old, as I said, like Deulofeu back when he was in his 13, 14 years old, and he did have the raw materials to make the first team. But whether it was an injury at a wrong time or luck or timing or whatever it was, Deulofeu wasn't able to hone his game and change it. And it's not necessarily all on just the teenager or all on the coaching staff or the academy. Barcelona has shown that it has a top global academy. That's why it opens up smaller academies all over the world, even here in the US, 20 minutes from me, there's a Barcelona academy popping up. And so it's a brand and it's a style of learning the game that is proven to have success at the top global level. But that said, and I do recommend people actually go and read Gerard Piqué's piece from the Players Tribune. Fantastic. It really does get to the heart and talk about how even Piqué, who's our World Cup winning, Champions League winning, our La Liga winning, are one of our greatest defenders ever, one of our greatest players ever. And he does discuss how, as a youngster, he goes to England for opportunity, and because of some luck and timing and some talking to with Roy Keane, he does get this trial by fire as a teenager, and he has to mature very quickly and figure things out. That said, he also talks about how an injury and then also a mistake for Man United under Alex Ferguson led him coming back to Barca, something that he may not have done if he hadn't gotten hurt and hadn't made a crucial mistake in one game that sent him down the depth chart. And then under Pep Guardiola, remember, he was out of form, and before Pep left, Gerard Piqué was a third-choice center-back. Then Villanova comes, and all of a sudden, Piqué regains his form and has been as good as you can get for the last three-plus years. And so all those things have gone into what we know Piqué as today, but it's been up and down. There have been hills and valleys. And for young players, you cannot write off 18, 19, 20, 20, 21-year-olds right away. And they have to be pushed and have to be forced. Because even Alenia, who seems like a surefire first-team professional anywhere he could be, including Barcelona, his story is not yet written. And so we have to give him the opportunity and be patient. And I think of all else, we're talking about the future here, but patience has got to be the number one thing that we take into account.
Of course, totally agreed. Not going to add too much more. I think what you just said about Alanya applies to Dembele and also applies to Arthur, which is Artur, according to the Catalan media. I think regardless of the transfer fee, they need to be given a chance. They're between 20 and 21 years old, all of the players we just mentioned, and we need to support them in order to grow. Without the support, without the playing time, without all of the confidence from themselves and their hard work, nothing great is going to come their way. So it's all about sacrifice, but also about opportunity.
Sure thing. And wrapping up La Gran Pregunta, we'll go right into La Entrevista, where you, Frances, had the opportunity to welcome back on Mohamed Butt of Squawka and a returning guest of the Barcelona podcast. Here's that conversation.
Okay, thank you, Dan. I am delighted to have one of our friends coming back to the pod. It's Mohamed Butt. Obviously, last time when we spoke, he was in between jobs, and I'm not going to announce anything. I'm just going to let him do all the talking. Mohamed, welcome to the Barcelona podcast again.
Well, pleasure to be back, Francesc. Pleasure. And when I last came on, I had just left because Squawka had just imploded, but Squawka came back and I'm back there now. So that's pretty good. Chief writer, you know, getting in there, getting to write about Barca, getting to write about a lot of teams, actually. It's good. But, yeah, we're going to do some good stuff in the last stage of the Champions League. And they're building up to the World Cup. Got some big plans for that. So, should be some good stuff. Keep an eye out on Squawker, people. Should
be fun. Of course. Of course, that's precisely what we are going to do. That's what I've been doing throughout. Just for our listeners that may not have read any of your work lately, what is the tone? What is your feeling? What are you writing about these days?
Oh, I mean, many things. I wrote recently about where, you know, is it a good idea for Arsenal to let Wilshere go? Another thing I wrote recently was the squad depth that France had about, oh my goodness, their squad depth is frightening. I was, you know, you think, oh yeah, Titi, Moran, starting defenders, brilliant, brilliant defenders. And then they've got Koscielny, they've got Presnel Kimpembe, they've got just, I mean, Lucas Digne is their second or third best left back, which is crazy. And then you just look at the depth at centre back, Kimpembe, Koscielny, Pavard, just it's obscene. They are such a good team. On paper, they must have the strongest squad, I think.
Okay, so do you think that is the game that you most look forward to watching this time round? This is a listener question by Luke. So what international game are you most looking forward to watch during this break?
I mean, how do you not say Germany-Brazil, right? I know Neymar's not there, but like, it's got to be Germany, right? You've got to just see how Brazil approached that game. Tite is much, got them playing much better than they were before. I mean, I know it's a friendly and they probably won't play full strength sides, but there's got to be a lot riding on that for those Brazilian players that were involved in the same one. Also Spain-Argentina, because I think Spain-Argentina is always good fun. And I'm pretty sure if Argentina and Spain both win their groups, they'll meet in the quarterfinals, I think it is. So, you know, that's always interesting to watch and see what's going to happen there.
Of course, that's the prediction. I mean, people just keep playing with these brackets, and they do this in the United States with the NCAA and also the NBA. Yeah. They're just always trying to predict who's going to get where. And then, you know, after a couple of matches, you start changing your mind.
Yeah.
Christian asks, will Messi win the World Cup in Russia? Or in other words, who is your World Cup favourite?
I've had dreams of Messi winning the World Cup, man. But I don't know. I don't know. Argentina are a really, really bad team. Like, Sampaoli has great ambitions, but he's just not been there long enough to build something. Like, he did really well at Chile because he was following immediately from Bielsa. And Bielsa is a different breed of manager that can build things like that. Sampaoli, it's not as easy to build it as to carry on. I mean, I think he made Chile better than they were under Bielsa, but, you know, it's to start from scratch. It's not easy. Argentina, there's so much politics going on in that team. You know, he's so peculiar as well. Like, he's not picking Dybala or Icardi because he feels they don't compliment Messi correctly. Now, you know, in Dybala's case, I agree with him, but I don't know. I'd love Argentina to do it. I'd love Messi to do it. I don't see it. I think the winner comes from either Germany, Brazil, or Spain. I think of those three, Germany and France obviously have great squad depth, but I think they'll panic and lose their nerve. I feel like Germany are weak at the back when they got to Stegen, but I just feel like you look at the way their team is structured and Hummels and Boateng are weak. They're not the best and they don't really have a great left back. I mean, Hector's a good left back, but he's not like a top class left back. So I feel like their defences can be gotten if you can get the ball off them. You know what? If Neymar comes back in full fitness, I think Brazil are favourites, but I would tip Spain. I think Spain have a really, really good team. Lopetegui is a great coach. And I think they will surprise a lot of people.
Yeah, the thing with Lopetegui is that he's known the vast majority of his players for a long time.
Yeah,
I mean, these players have gone through the under-21s and obviously below that, under-19s, under-17s, etc.
Exactly.
But you've got young players such as Asensio coming through. You've got, obviously, Isco, Thiago, they're going to step up. You know,
Asensio is going to have a really big tournament. You look at him and you look at the way he plays, and I think he's made for like a 7-game runner where he just goes insane. Like he did it at the start of the season for Madrid, he was just scoring constantly. And I think that's what's going to happen here. He'll hit a vein of form and he'll explode.
Yep, the way I see the Spanish national team is at the back we're fairly solid. I think the Ramos and Piqué partnership, obviously with De Gea behind, that gives you a lot of solidity and you know, you can consolidate scores if you manage to score a goal, which, you know, given the quality up front, can happen. I'm just not sure about whether the media, it's not the players themselves, but the media and the sort of Spain against Catalunya sort of environment back home, is going to affect the harmony within the team. And in a way, Spain, in my eyes, are at risk of self-destruction sometimes.
Well, I mean, Spain have always had like a risk of self-destruction, right? That's always been like a big problem. But you see Piqué talking about this WhatsApp group, you know, this thing where he's saying that they will have a WhatsApp group where they will make fun of each other. I think that's actually very clever of Piqué, because I think it's obviously it's good banter and everything. And everyone's having a good time. But I think, you know, without Casillas and Xavi, who really brought the two camps together, you know, for lack of a better word, during Spain's great era and Puyol. But Xavi, it was mainly Xavi and Casillas' friendship is what allowed the Aragonés and Del Bosque era to happen. You know, those two were like, look, stop arguing with each other. Let's just work together for a team.
Of course.
And, yeah. No, I mean, and that is funny. And yeah, I think without Arbeloa there, without Xabi Alonso there, I think Spain, I don't think it was self-destruct. I think the biggest issue Spain will face is Lopetegui as emotionally attached to Iniesta as Valverde clearly is. Because I love Iniesta, but Valverde, you know, he got away with it against Chelsea, man, because he ran that dude into the ground before the second leg against Chelsea. And I've been screaming the whole season, you have to rotate Iniesta. And he's been playing him constantly. And it almost got him. It almost got him against Chelsea.
Yeah.
You know, I think that's going to be their biggest issue. That and, like, who's going to score the goals? Because if Morata arrives in the kind of form he's playing right now, he's playing quite wretchedly right now. He needs to perk his ideas up. If he can do that,
yeah, either that or Diego Costa. We'll have to wait and see.
Of course, yeah, because he's fitting in, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah, he's playing quite well now. And obviously, under Diego Simeone, that guy just sort of lights up. And you never know if he's going to score a hat-trick or get, you know, a red card in the third minute. But someone who is at Barca now that holds, I think, the biggest key in the team, beyond, obviously, the key that Messi sort of keeps for himself, is Andrés Iniesta. Obviously, there's been rumours for him departing to China. And he basically was on El Larguero last night, which is a midnight show that pretty much the whole of Spain listens to before going to bed or as they're going to bed. And Iniesta sort of explained that, you know, he hasn't necessarily made his mind up, but when he's expressing his emotions and his feeling and you know, sort of forward planning and even talking about life away from Barca, people who know him best actually say that is something he doesn't do unless the decision is pretty much done and taken.
Yeah.
He didn't say he was leaving, obviously, because he's still got another 35 days to decide. But we've got a question from Capoeira, one of our listeners. He always sends questions, and we're very grateful for him. He says, how are we going to fill the void that Iniesta is going to leave or may potentially leave when he decides to move on to China?
You can't fill the void that these players leave. Xavi, Iniesta... You know, I mean, Barca still haven't replaced Xavi. I mean, Arthur apparently will do it, but Arthur's going to arrive in what, the summer? So summer 2018, Xavi left 3 years ago, you know? These kind of, and even then, Arthur, how long till he's actually as good as Xavi was? Like 4 years, 3 years? You can't replace the guy. People like Xavi, Iniesta, even, I mean, Barca, Zubizarreta, God bless him, did us a solid with Ter Stegen. Because otherwise, Barca could have waited a long time to find a new Victor Valdez. You know, these players are generational. Umtiti, how long did Barca... Puyol went off the boil around like 2011, 12, right? Mm-hmm. When did Barca... took Barca 4 years to find Umtiti. Took Umtiti 1 year to settle in. Now Umtiti is the new Puyol. You know, look at the distance between... If Mascherano hadn't emerged and done really well, Barca would have suffered. You know, these generational talents, you're not going to replace Iniesta. Because not only is Iniesta obviously an amazing world-class footballer, well, he was at his peak... He's a great person. He's a really good human being, a really good leader. You know, I mean, he doesn't talk much, but look at Neymar, like 6 months away from Iniesta's leadership. Look at Neymar. Look what he's getting up to in Paris. I mean, that's a very, very good example of just what kind of influence Iniesta does actually exert.
So do you think Neymar moving to Paris managed to get away from Messi's shadow? Because that was his target, right? What's your thought on the whole situation?
I mean, I'll come back to that in a second, but just to remember Iniesta, who was the first player to post a picture with Andre Gomez after the Chelsea game?
Of course, it was him.
It was Iniesta. Yep. You know, you don't fill the void. You can't fill the void of a player like that. He's an historic, all-time player. I've been criticised by a lot of Barca fans for saying that he's finished because I do believe as a top-level talent, elite-level talent, he is finished because he can't do it every 3 days. He can barely do it every 7 days. But big game Iniesta, you rest him, you rotate him, you roll him out for big games, he can still get it done. I don't know how Barca replace him. I mean, on the pitch, Coutinho will obviously replace him. Barca will lose a bit of control but gain a lot of impact. But then you bring Arthur into the middle, so that's where Barca regain the control. So it's a trade-off. I think on the pitch, Barca will have Coutinho. There's also Alenia, who I think will play more and get more minutes maybe in that position as well, mm-hmm. as an option. Gomez, if he stays, although I don't see him staying, but, you know, there's players that Barca can have in that position to sort of unleash, as it were. Maybe they'll have to sign a younger player.
Yeah, it seems to be Arthur seems to be the one, but I think people have high hopes for a player that has never played in Europe, and I don't want to disrespect him because obviously the guy's got quality, he's got the confidence, and you know he's already making an impact in Brazil. But you know, coming across the ocean and playing within a new environment, arguably the biggest club in the world, is a completely different ball game, and people's expectations, they cannot be that he's going to be remotely close to either Xavi or Iniesta, because as you said, no one really can be. Do you want to?
It's a big ask, but Arthur's an interior. He's not going to replace Iniesta. He will in terms of adding control to the game team like Iniesta, but he'll play in the middle. He'll replace Rakitic if anyone gets pushed out for Arthur. But I think it's going to be interesting to watch Barca evolve. I think Coutinho will play a big role post Iniesta. I'm not entirely sure if Barca will ever find a player as unique as Iniesta again. I mean, I gather they'll find someone like Xavi. You know, these are once-in-a-lifetime talents, and Barca were very lucky to have them all at the same time. To answer your question about Neymar, no, he's not escaping Messi's shadow. He's never going to escape Messi's shadow. No one is until he retires. He would at the very least, be compared to Messi in every single thing he does. And right now, he's coming off incredibly unfavorably. Wouldn't give Cavani penalties, you know, which is selfish in the extreme when he's being paid more than everyone else. Massive whiny crybaby. Skipped Real Madrid's PSG's biggest game of the season against Real Madrid. The game they bought him to win, and you know, skipped it to get a head start preparing for the World Cup. He's still well and firmly in Messi's shadow. It was a tremendous mistake for him to move on when he did. But frankly, Barca are going to come out of this much stronger. They've gotten rid of his toxic influence. They've gotten rid of his dad's toxic influence, and they've brought in Ousmane Dembele, who is younger, not just as talented, but extremely, extremely talented. And much more of a better complement to the likes of Messi and Suarez than Neymar was, in the sense that he will play for them. He's not going to be like, oh, I want to be the protagonist. I'm sure he has designs on being in the Ballon d'Or, but he's the kind of humble young player who's just going to work hard and work for the team. He's still going to have skills and tricks and everything, but you look at the way he fits in with Messi and Suarez, you can already see he's a better complement, and he's not going to cause problems like Neymar did, wanting to be more of a protagonist.
And we've got a couple of questions about Yerry Mina. To be honest, I don't know why people keep asking about Yerry Mina. Obviously, he hasn't been playing very much.
It's the dancing, man. It's the dancing.
It has to be. But we've got two questions this week. Yeah. So it says, Shaban asks, do you think Yerry Mina will get more playing time to help Piqué fresh for the Champions League, for him to stay fresh? And Devesh says, De Ligt, Upamecano, or stick with Mina for next season? What does Yerry Mina sort of make you feel? What do you think? He should be playing now, or...
It's difficult, right? Because centre-back is probably the hardest area in the team to bring in young talent, right? Because it's very, very, very high risk. You make a mistake, it's likely to cost a goal, right? You know this.
Of course.
And then for Barca, of course, as well, it's important in the build-up phase. Like, if you don't bring the ball out the back correctly, Barca don't play with the same fluidity.
No, of course.
Yerry Mina, new country, new culture, vastly improved level. Look, he looked very good in the game he did play against. God, I can't remember who it was now. He looked good on his debut. He's played well, but you know, Valverde's not going to want to rush him. You know, he's not, and I don't blame him. I'm perfectly fine with Valverde not rushing him unless there's a desperate need. And also, to go back to the second question, why does it have to be them or Yerry Mina? I would sign De Ligt and have Yerry Mina, because honestly, Vermaelen, can you really rely on him to be fit? You know, Barca got lucky with him this season. He's only been fit while Umtiti was injured, which, you know, God bless him for that. But I would sooner have De Ligt and Yerry Mina, or frankly, De Jong even. I mean, if you've watched this, I mean, he's a really impressive young player. So, you know, I would sooner have two young centre-backs, working under Piqué and Umtiti, you know, mentoring there, learning how to play the game. I think that's a really good idea.
Okay. Mohamed, you're such a good guest because you sort of self-answer all the questions. You just answer all my questions. I've got three more, but you just answer them all. So we don't have a last question, Mohamed. That's all the time we got for it today.
Oh, okay.
It's an absolute pleasure. You're such a genius. Like, honestly.
Okay, thank you. Honestly, you're too kind.
Of course. I am too kind because it's the truth. Mohamed, a pleasure to have you. Where can our listeners listen to your work or read your work?
On squawker.com. We're on Twitter at squawker, squawka. I'm on Twitter at Mohamed Butt, MUHAMMADBUTT. Facebook is the same thing, facebook.com/Mohamed Butt. So yeah, come find me, come read my stuff, talk to me about Barcelona, about every club you want to. Ask me questions. If you're polite, I might answer them. Who knows?
Only if you're polite, though. Listeners,
You have to be polite, yeah.
Of course. Listeners, all of the details that Mohamed just went through, they're in your app. So if you tap your app now, just tap on Mohamed's name, and that will direct you to his social media, and you can interact with him there. Mohamed.
My one great shame, though, about this podcast is that my son fell asleep. I want him to... He loves Barca. He's absolutely crazy for Barca. So I want him to come on and just express his love for Umtiti. Just have a few words. He loves Umtiti and Messi.
Well, we're going to make sure that the little picture he drew the other day is going to be the cover art for the episode, as you asked.
That's a beautiful... I'm sure he'll love that. I'll show him that and he'll get so happy.
That's what we do. A pleasure. Let's do it again soon. Thank you very much.
Great stuff, as always, from Mohamed Butt. And again, a big thank you to him for coming on for the second time. Now both he... And Deanna, Christine have our multi-time guests, and of course, Joanna Cowley is on more often than anybody else. But we thank those guests who are returning for a second and hopefully a third time in the future. But that'll wrap up another edition of the Barcelona podcast. And we usually tell you to subscribe and we ask you to be a Patreon. But the one thing Frances and I are asking of you today is just share it with one person. And of course, for myself or Frances, our families are tired of hearing about the Barcelona podcast. Everyone I know doesn't want to hear about it anymore. So we want you, the listeners, just share it with one person today that might have an interest in either the sport or Barcelona, the city, or especially, of course, the team at any level. And so we want to get into those kind of things where you guys can share the show, and we want to continue to build this community.
At this point on the podcast as well, if you are listening still, thank you very much for being there. You put up with nearly 40 minutes of us just once again. You are our best listeners. You sort of endure the whole program every single time. It does not go unnoticed. We're always looking at our stats and our growth. And we know that the vast majority of you stay till the very end. And if you're listening to this, thank you very much. If you could tell one person, you can tell two if you want, you know, there's no limit here. But if you could tell one person that you really enjoy the show, if he's retweeting or sharing or anything like that. But the most effective way is word of mouth. Can you please tell someone about us? We will be delighted, and we will continue to bring you two shows a week for as long as we possibly can. Thank you for being there. See you next time.
Yeah, and thanks for listening to the Barcelona podcast, bringing the hottest breaking stories from the Camp Nou. Until next time, we'll talk to you soon. Forza Barça.
Forza.
What if Santa didn't need 8 reindeer to guide him through the night?
Hey, Mercedes, map me to Kalamazoo.
Okay, mapping the fastest route to Michigan.
Or what if his sleigh could get real-time weather info?
Hey, Mercedes, what's the temperature on the 25th?
22 degrees. Rooftops may be icy.
Mercedes-Benz MBUX technology hasn't made it to flying sleighs, but it's available to you on the A-Class, the GLE, or GLC. And you can get them all for an exceptional price during the Mercedes-Benz winter event.
MBUX Command simulated.
They call you the Grill Master. You've seared the thickest porterhouse in the butcher shop. And as you lift that first forkful to your mouth, you savor the moment. To get amazing offers during the Mercedes-Benz summer event, like the 2019 C-Class sedan and GLC SUV, the perfect recipes of driving performance. Plus, you can enjoy 6 months of Sirius XM All Access included. The Mercedes-Benz summer event, now serving limited time offers on a select lineup of vehicles. Offers end September 3rd. Mercedes-Benz, the best or nothing.